My second visit to Hart ended with a strange journey through the original mines and a detour into the sewers betwixt. While it's still the same little Oberlin skulking about in the sewers with the same terrifying auntie yogurt monster, this is certainly not the same Troika. I guess it's time to figure out what kind of Troika it is.
I'm just going to try and do another Miss Piggy, but I don't know if I can leap into an intro for the show unless I just do it in my normal voice. Because the only way to do Miss Piggy is to start with Kermy.
Begging you to introduce the show to Kermy.
Kermy, welcome to it's Heart of Troika, presented by Midtown Mythos.
Thank you. I needed that. In my life.
I don't know why, but I always, in order to get into that zone, I need to start with Kermy, and I don't know why.
I understand it. I mean, I can't do the impression, so I don't, like, understand it on a personal level, but it makes sense. That's what puts you inside your head. That's your preparation for that role.
Yeah. It actually kind of reminds me, and this has nothing to do with anything. There was this comedian that Elle and I were watching this documentary about him, mm-hmm. and the dude is famous for, on SNL, breaking into a million different impersonations. That's his entire shtick. He's not particularly funny to just be telling jokes, but you stick him into a character, and he's a god. Mm. And he was explaining that in order to enter a character, he thinks of a color. Mm-hmm. Each character has a separate color. Then he also mentioned to his therapist who the color red was, and it was his dad. And it's like, no, we're not gonna do that. we're not gonna go there because he doesn't like his dad apparently.
Can you do angry Miss Piggy?
Kermy!
Thank you. Okay. Anyway.
I don't know why I can do it.
Dear listeners, you came here for Miss Piggy impressions today, right? You didn't actually want us to play the game, right?
I mean, that would be lame, playing a game. Psh.
I just want Miss Piggy to inexplicably turn up in this Troika. That's the kind of Troika it is. It's the one where Miss Piggy is.
Don't tempt me.
I'm tempting you.
You are tempting me. It's a problem. I'm tempting you. Ugh. Okay. So, where I was picking back in is you are in a much denser Troika. Mm-hmm. That you can hop from one district all the way clear into another on the rooftops now.
Oh, cool.
And that's kind of where you left off, is powwowing on the rooftops, if I remember right.
I don't remember going up to the rooftop. The last thing I remember is stepping out of Keith's magic shop.
Okay, then you're there.
Okay, that works.
Okay.
But I'm glad to know that I can hippity-hop from rooftop to top. Look at me.
Spittin', you sound like an Easter
spittin'
bunny.
Spittin' bars.
Like a Rankin Bass Easter Bunny.
Mm-hmm. I'm MC Bunny, and I'm here to say I like eggs and chocolate in a major way.
I hated everything about that, and therefore it was great. Okay, so, you are now in this totally different Troika. You have all sorts of options of what you can do.
Okay, so the first thing I actually want to do is, so the child, Oberlin, about how old are they supposed to begin? Like 8 or something? 10?
10 to 12, something like
12.
That.
Okay, so like preteen.
Yeah.
Okay. So they'd mentioned, the knight Sangili. Okay, I was right the first time. The last knight of Troika. Mm-hmm. I'm quite curious about this person, so I would like to do some reading on them, and because this is the ye olden times, there's no Google, so I'm going to go to the ye olde Google, which is a library.
Okay. So you go in search of the library, mm-hmm. and discover to your horror, there...
It's in Tobin?
There's two options, both of them are in Tobin. Mm. There's either the church, or there is the town hall.
Town hall? Okay. Well, town hall is slightly less scary than a church.
Okay. So you go up to the town hall, and lo and behold, it is, other than the church, the largest building in the city. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely fucking colossal. It is spires and towers, towers and spires. This old stone monolith of a building, mm-hmm. spiraling up into the sky.
Okay.
So as you're going up to it, you reach the large wooden doors, and what do you want to do?
Does it have any indication on the outside that I'm not allowed to just open these doors and walk in?
Other than the fact absolutely no one's around. No. But by the same token, no one else is anywhere really in Tobin other than, you know, the occasional weird creepy fop running around. Mm. Or the, you know, fancy local garden parties.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jinx.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a knocker or anything on the door?
No, there's just two enormous, like, iron, like, partially rusted iron handles.
Hmm, interesting. Interesting that they're rusted.
It's a very old building.
Yeah, but you'd think that a building that, like, people are coming in and out of a lot, they would do something about that.
One would think.
Okay, well, I'm going to attempt entry.
Okay. You go to enter, and it's not opening up. It is... somehow, probably barred, you would imagine. Mm-hmm. Closed from the inside.
Okay. In that case, I will knock.
Fair enough. So you start pounding on the door. Well, first you do a polite little knock. Mm-hmm. Nothing. You start pounding on the door. And a very sad-looking fellow with long, slicked-back hair is pausing and goes... they're not going to open up for you.
Is he a Tobin-esque looking person?
It is, but you also recognize him.
Okay.
You actually recognize this as the guy that used to run the alchemy shop.
Ah.
Or the occult shop, I should say.
Another Troika.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I say to him, well, why not?
No one goes in, no one goes out.
Well, where would I find, like, the mayor or whoever?
In there. And he gestures to Town Hall.
Yeah, I figured.
Okay. That was more so for the listeners.
Gotcha. So is he not in charge anymore, or what?
He is, but no one pays attention to him anymore.
Ah.
He doesn't come out, so what's the point?
How do you know he's still in there?
Every now and then, people see a silhouette in a window.
So how does he get, like, food and that sort of thing?
We don't know. There's a lot of things that people don't know about Troika anymore.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Say, could you tell me where I might find... I mean, this is why I'm here, and you seem a knowledgeable sort, so I guess I'll ask you. I'm trying to find out about the Knight Sangili.
And he's about to walk off, and he kind of pauses. And he says... don't say that name to me. And he continues walking away.
I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to say, okay, sorry, but can you tell me where I can find out more about this person?
And he sighs and says, you can ask Rixer Holt about Sangili.
Okay, where am I going to find Rixer Holt?
And he gestures down further into Tobin where there is a garden party happening.
Oh, man.
Aww.
And I say, okay, thank you.
Hold on a second, I just need to modify a thread here. That you are going to talk to Rixer Holt, or that you might go talk to Rixer Holt about Sangili. Ah, I accidentally made a graph instead.
I hate it when I'm just trying to, like, do something else and all of a sudden a graph appears. It's like when you try to, like, do something else and it's like, oh no, I built a shelf by mistake. What do I do, Google?
So in fairness, OneNote is an amazing program. Guys, if you aren't using OneNote, I have no hope for you. OneNote is an amazing program that it just allows you to take any type of information and store it in a smart way as long as you know the correct button. If you accidentally make a graph, you're kind of fucked. But there's a reason you can make graphs. So it's great.
Hmm.
Anyway, so what did you want to do besides mock me and my graphs?
I'm going to mock you and your graphs. That's the rest of the episode. It's just Miss Piggy impersonations and mocking you with your graphs.
Kirby, I made a graph! That wasn't as good.
It started strong.
But... Yeah. The squeakier it gets, the worse it becomes. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I guess I will reluctantly approach this party.
Okay. And you see a lot of people in very, very pale makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And cute little, like, very tight pink and white outfits playing little violins.
Okay.
And a whole spread of delicious little cakes and oodles of teapots are spread across this very long table set out in a garden.
So is Tobin basically just pre-revolutionary France? Is that the inspiration?
Kind of, yeah. In a weird roundabout way. I love the idea of digging up the dirty little secrets of people that are all about looking very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what inspired.
Okay.
Inspired Tobin.
And I like bringing down the bourgeoisie, so it all works.
You revolutionary pig dog.
That's me.
There's your Miss Piggy.
Mm-hmm.
The Miss Piggy was inside of you all along.
Anyway, any hoozle. So yes, I approach them. Do they take any notice of me as I approach?
Not initially, until you actually set foot on the grass, which crunches rather nicely. It's mm-hmm. a very, very sturdy grass, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And almost immediately, all the heads start to swivel towards you, just a couple at a time, but it becomes a motion really quickly. And there's very clearly one person at the front of the head of the table that's in charge. And she's looking over at you, and she's got this smile on her face, and she's just got this very elegant hairdo and this very cute little suit on. And she immediately starts gesturing to you to come over to her.
Okay. I approach, and as I do, I say, hi, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I'm just looking for a Rixer Holt.
Oh, no. Don't apologize. You're totally fine. It's very nice to meet you. What was your name?
I'm Bronwyn.
Very nice to meet you, Bronwyn. My name is Fresco.
Fresco. Great. Yeah. Thank you for your kindness. I'm just looking for this Rixer Holt, and then I can be out of your way.
Pshaw. No. Rixer can get you in a minute. Here, pull up a chair. And she, shoves another person out of the chair next to her and forces you into that chair next to her.
Cool, fun.
Yeah, and she's immediately got this little tiny piece of tea cake that she's buttering, and she's, shoving the plate into your hand.
Okay. I politely take a bite. How does it taste?
It is one of the best things you've ever had in your life.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you would honestly rather not eat again than eat things that don't taste this delicious.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's quite dramatic.
I mean, in fairness,
a little bit extra.
In fairness, you don't often have particularly nice food in this city, and you don't remember any other food outside of this city.
True, so, yes.
Yeah, when you stop and think about it, it's like, oh, no, this makes sense. I am eating like a king right now, or queen, as it were.
Yes. I'm eating like somebody who's got way more money than me.
Oh, yes.
Probably because I'm being fed by somebody with way more money than me.
Oh, yes.
Okay, but yes, so I eat my tea cake. Do people just resume their partying, or do people pay attention to me?
For the most part, they are resuming their partying and banter and chatter, and there's polite violin music playing in the background.
Mm. Polite violin music. I like that.
Right?
It's a great description of fancy party violin music.
It's perfect. Just like this party, it's perfect. And just like Fresco, it's perfect. So,
wait. Sorry to interrupt. I don't see my nemesis at this table, do I? He's busy at work, right? My nemesis? He's not here, is he? Svindelborg.
Oh, no, he's not here. Okay, good. Mostly because he is actually over in the general store.
Yes, that's what I asked.
Yeah, he I'll go ahead and mention, he here is not actually a Tobin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's just terrifying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's his defining character trait.
It's terrifying, yes.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead and, since you are now in sort of your third troika and you're now able to get a general vibe of the way that the city works, is different troikas will have different people in different roles. It doesn't necessarily change their defining trait. Mm-hmm. It just changes sort of what their role is in the city. Mm-hmm. So Svindelborg, for example, is terrifying.
Yes.
The guy that you still don't know his name from the occult store is mostly just unhappy and sullen and doesn't explain things. Mm-hmm. And now you're meeting another person, Fresco.
What's her defining characteristic? Or do I not have to get to know yet until I get to know her?
Oh, you got to get to know her.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, it's kind of like you don't get to know the occult shop owner's name unless you actually sort of get to know him a little bit. Yeah.
What's Keith's defining characteristic?
Keith's whole deal is that he is... Actually, I've got it on my phone, specifically written in phrase. Let me see if...
You goober.
So, Keith's description is conversational and well-intended.
Cool. And Robert?
Oh, Robert is... happy to strike a partnership.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he'll pretty much work with you whatever the hell's going on, which is nice.
Nifty. Okay, anyway, back to the party.
Yeah, so Fresco is bantering at you quick as lightning mm-hmm. and trying to ask you a million and one little questions about how long you've been in Troika, and have you gone down into the city beneath yet, and how long do you think you'll be staying here? Forever? Probably forever. Everyone stays here forever. It's such a beautiful city.
Yeah. I have been down there once, and yeah, I guess I'll stay here a while. I don't know, forever. I don't know.
And she sort of pauses for the briefest second and mentions, oh, but you didn't tell me. Where have you been staying in town? I haven't seen you anywhere.
Yeah, I haven't been staying anywhere yet. I just got here today.
And she sort of stares at you for a second and goes, oh. And then she's right back at it asking another million mile per hour questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I answer them when I'm able between bites of food because, hey, I'm going to take this fucking free food.
Yeah. And she's still, like, she's shoving tea into your hands and then a little cup of brandy and then a tea cake and then a little cucumber sandwich. And she just keeps shoving food into your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Food and drink, just
Why
continuously.
Why are cucumber sandwiches a fancy rich people thing?
I don't know. So you are being fed lots of little snacks, mm-hmm. and people are, well, you did good enough on a little secret D20 roll mm-hmm. that I did there. I can go ahead and mention, people are watching you out of the corner of their eyes.
Mm-hmm. So after some amount of time, I say, could I talk to Rickster Holt? He's here, right?
Oh, yes, but why would you want to talk with Rickster? He's such a bore.
I've actually been sent to talk to him.
But wouldn't it be much more fun to keep talking with me?
Listen, if I'm gonna be here a while, there'll be plenty more time to talk to you. I just gotta go to have this boring conversation with Rickster real quick.
Oh, fine. But afterward, you're coming directly back to my place for drinks.
I'll see what I can do.
Directly back to my place. And she gives you a cute little gentle pat, 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 and kind of pushes you out of the seat very gently.
Okay, and then I start to walk away, and then I lean back and I say, wait, so which one's Rickster?
And she's like, no, you're fine. Go on, see you at my place.
Okay, so I move a couple seats down, and I say, excuse me, can somebody point me to Rickster Holt, please?
And the person that you ask, let's see here, gives a very congenial smile. And points you to a unusual-looking little man with just really scraggly blue hair towards the other end of the table.
Okay, I will head towards scraggly blue hair, man.
Yeah, and he's got a bit of an odor to him. It's not necessarily a super bad odor, but it's just a little pungent.
Mm-hmm.
And much more importantly is it smells very strongly of cheap alcohol.
Ah.
Yeah. And the fellow, he's still dressed in very nice clothes, but they're just not quite as put together.
Mm-hmm.
And he's quietly munching on a little English muffin, or mm-hmm. Troikan muffin, I guess, or something. But he's just quietly munching and sort of just watching the rest of the crowd quietly.
Is there a seat free near him?
There is. Okay. There's actually several seats free near him.
Okay, nobody wants to sit by the drunk old guy. I see how it is.
Oh, he's not old.
Okay, nobody wants to sit by the drunk young guy.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, so I grab a seat near him and I say, hi, Rixer Holt?
Yes, that's me.
Hi, I'm so sorry to interrupt this very fun party that you guys are having. I was told that if I want to learn about the Knights Angeli, I need to talk to you.
And he raises an eyebrow. What do you want to know about the Knights Angeli?
I want to know whatever you'll share with me. I have been compared to the Knights Angeli, and I need to find out if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
A little of column A, a little of column B. I've got documents back at my abode in my study. Would you be willing to join me there?
Yeah, sure.
And he begins to get up, and he's nodding to empty chairs and saying, thank you, dear friends, thank you, dear friends. And he's sort of grinning to himself. I must go, unfortunately. I have company elsewhere. And everyone's watching him as he leaves, and he's just shaking his head and rolling his eyes.
Okay. And I follow him.
You follow me? Oh, how nice of you. Anyway, so yeah, you're following him. And he leads you to this... it's not as well-kempt as the other houses in Tobin, but it's still very, very elegant.
Right.
And it's impressively tall. It's one of the taller houses here.
Fancy.
Mm-hmm. And he busts out this old tarnished brass key, and he's unlocking the door. And he holds the door open for you first.
All right. I step inside.
Okay. And he follows shortly after, and he's locking the door again. And you're noticing that the house has this musty odor to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something else in the air that you can't quite place. This little tang of something. And maybe it's just wine. Maybe it's just wine that's spoiled somewhere. But yeah, the entire place is just a little bit dusty and a little musty. And he starts towards the stairs, and every step that he's taking up these beautiful stairs with this wine red carpet, a little plume of dust is coming up each time he steps his foot down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to keep following him.
Okay. And he leads you up away from the first floor, past the second floor, past the third floor, up to the fourth floor. And you think at one point this may have been an attic, but it's been converted into this incredibly lavish library. There's books running up and down both sides. And there's this enormous desk in the middle of the room with papers stacked. And you can see that a lot of papers towards the bottom, they have to be better part of 50, 60, 70 years old.
Hmm.
So he's got a lot of documents right here in this room. And he makes his way over to the desk and starts to rifle through and says, go ahead and make yourself at home anywhere you would like.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna just kind of walk around, look at some of the titles of the books on the shelves. Okay. Do I see anything, obviously, about this, about the Knights Angeli? Anything about Troika?
Not really, because, well, there's a lot going on in Troika that makes it very hard for books to get written. You've sort of gotten that vibe a little bit.
Uh-huh.
That either the information just doesn't go down very well. There's just a lot of information here, but none of it seems to be directly Troika related. Lots and lots of books, lots of histories, a lot of them in languages that you do not know how to read. So you can only sort of guess at what they're about based on either the titles or the covers. So.
Okay. All right. I look over at Rixer. What's he doing?
He is rifling...
Rixer, not Rixer.
Rixer, correct. He is rifling through papers, digging for the correct papers.
Okay. And is there any spot where I can, like, sit down and wait for him?
Oh, yeah. There's chairs and couches and tables all over the place. There's actually one very cushy spot right near the window, actually.
Okay. I'm going to take the cushy window spot and look out the window.
Okay. And from the window, you can actually see at this one specific spot, you can see all the way down to the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that the garden party has kind of wrapped up, but everyone is walking back down the street and staring specifically at Rixer's house.
I'm gonna pray that got caught in the spider web.
Something's happening, certainly.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep my wits about me.
Okay. And eventually, you hear a very proud, aha!
All right, so I go join him by the desk.
And he passes you this bundle of papers. And they're a little hard to make out, but it looks like it's either letters or a diary, possibly both.
Okay. And I say, is this everything you have?
Well, it's most of it.
You got something else?
Dribs and drabs here and there, little mentions, nothing major.
But this is the important stuff?
This is the vast majority. This was all either handwritten by or handwritten to Sangili.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so very old.
Could I borrow this stuff?
I'd prefer if you didn't.
Ah, okay. Could I trade something for it?
I doubt that you have anything that would be worth it, but sure, let's see what you've got.
I offer up the bottle of stank liquor.
Are you being serious?
No, not really. I just think it'd be funny if he's a drunk and he's just like, oh, liquor.
Is that actually what you're doing?
No. I say, I could give you some crewer for it.
And he narrows his eyes and says, how much crewer?
How much would you expect?
Not what I asked. Don't answer questions with questions. That's bad manners.
Does he sound a lot more sober now?
He didn't really sound drunk before. He just smelled drunk. Gotcha. Yeah. You get the impression that he spends most of his time probably heavily drunk, mm-hmm. but probably has learned to live with it quite nicely.
Gotcha. Okay, hold on. I need to look and see how much crewer I actually have. I have not opened my notebook yet today.
Also, having your dice tower set up and your dice out might be useful.
I haven't needed them yet.
This is true, but wouldn't it be nice to have them just in case? Yeah, okay. I'll keep that in mind.
I have 14 chunks of crewer. I could give you 4 chunks of crewer for it.
And he barks a laugh back at you. But he does not, thankfully, do anything more than just bark a laugh and start to turn his back on you.
And I shrug and I say, hey, I asked you to name a price.
It's not for sale.
Okay.
Consider me a collector.
Okay. I guess I'll just have a look at these then.
All right. So, one second. Let me go ahead and trying to decide. We'll go with this one. So, you begin to rifle through the documents, and the first thing that you determine is that, indeed, somewhat per your sort of suspicion, it is a combination of several letters and diary pages. Mm-hmm. It seems to go back and forth, conversations not only with Sangili, but also musings by Sangili himself. Mm-hmm. He was indeed the knight, like the big head honcho knight of Troika, and his official title was Sangili the Noble.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what else do I find? Okay, a timer is ticking down.
Yes.
Care for that.
There you go. You got it. You're on the same page now. So
Null, for the listeners, Null placed a D6 six side up on the desk, and after I asked a question, he flipped it to the 5 side up.
Correct. So as you continue to rifle through the pages, you are picking up on the fact that Sangili was sort of just the local hero for Troika before the schisma ever happened. He had been here for a very, very long time. However, in the light of not necessarily the schisma, but specifically the discovery of Kruer and the Heart, he started to become known for specifically being a sort of local representative of Troika. Like, you wouldn't know about Troika without knowing about Sangili.
Mm-hmm.
You're more likely to hear about Sangili the hero, Sangili the noble, and then find out that he's from Troika.
Okay. That's all I find out?
I mean, no, there's... You can keep asking things. You can keep rifling through if you would like.
I would like to keep rifling through.
Okay.
We're on four now.
Yeah. So...
I don't know if it's going to work, but I already have an escape plan. And okay. Bronwyn also already has... Well, I guess Bronwyn doesn't know about that.
Yeah, yeah. Bronwyn doesn't know about the...
Bronwyn... Wait, as I'm reading, I want to be, like, pacing around and, like, check out the window. See if those folks are still heading here.
They're gathered outside.
They're gathered outside? Okay, cool. That's not scary at all.
They're watching the house.
Okay.
Yeah. So... sorry, I just got very amused by my... So...
It's your trademark.
It is. I need to get a shirt that just says, so, dot, dot, dot. So, you want to dive back into the documents, though?
Yes.
Okay. So, as you are rifling through a little bit more, and don't worry, this will be kind of a semi-freebie.
Yeah.
You are figuring out that a big thing that happened with Sangili is that he was kind of the one that would go down into the mines to, like, help people, rescue them, pull them out if things started to get too weird. Because at first it was just weird things would happen in the mines.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, he became known as the local hero, and he would travel up and down Europe. What's a Europe? You wonder to yourself. Because
so this is before Troika was lost?
Yes.
Okay.
All of this happened pre-Schisma.
Okay.
So... he would wander up and down Europe, but he'd always come back home to Troika to fix things, put things right. And along the way, of course, there were a lot of other heroes that were cropping up from Troika, such as people that were using Kruger or people that just happened to be really skilled with a sword. But most of them ended up dead, one way or another. So it ended up with, you know, Sangili kind of being the last knight of Troika.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So far, so good.
Yeah. All right, I want to keep reading. Flip to a three.
You hear a click sound.
Where's it coming from?
Oh, wait, one second. I can kind of imitate. It's coming from behind you.
Does it sound like a revolver?
You don't know what a revolver is.
Okay. I look.
It is Rixer holding some sort of strange little gadget in front of him. It has this pipe on the front of it and a little walnut handle.
And I look at it, I look at him, I say, what's that?
And he grins at you. And one second, let me see here. I need you to give me a roll, actually.
Oh, I guess I should bust out my tower finally.
Yeah.
What am I rolling?
2d10, because you have Endure.
Hmm. I'm a bit in shot right now.
Oh, yes.
I wish you wouldn't say that with such joy, sir.
What did you expect? Me not taking joy in you being shot. Are you kidding?
I'm going to fucking find some d10s.
Yeah, that would help.
See, this is why we normally do this at the beginning, before we start rolling. That's a d6.
Do you need to borrow a couple d10s?
No, I got them. They're just hiding. They don't want to be rolled right now.
I know. Break. That's why I'm offering you a couple of d10s.
They're on strike. They're trying to seize the means of production.
No, I see...
Oh, there's one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I see plenty of percentiles, but...
Another percentile. Nope. Some 20s and a couple 6s.
Oh, there we go. 12. Let's just keep the giant pile of dice in front of us just in case.
All right. 10! And an 8. So I did good.
We'll just focus on the 10.
Yeah, because it's only the top one that matters.
Pretty much, yeah. So the good news is, as he is about to shoot you, well, first off, actually, I will say he does try and shoot you.
Jams?
No, actually, he misses.
Oh. Does it go through the window by any chance?
No, the window is actually behind him.
Oh, what? But I was over by the window.
You had looked out the window, and then you went back to reading, and wander. No. People wander.
Hadn't quite been my intention.
Oh. My apologies.
The window was part of my escape plan. It still is.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't really change that much, but no, it ricochets, hits a pile of documents, throws paper up into the air, and pings into a beam of wood.
Okay, well, I'm going to run at him and knock him over.
Okay.
Do I need to roll anything for that?
Well, because we are running the weird Heart of Troika shit, no.
Okay, cool. So I run at him and knock him over.
Actually, hold it. You know what? No, fuck it. Roll a d10 for me.
D10? I think I have one out. No, these are d10s. I'm fucking stupid. 7.
Okay. You succeed, but quote unquote at a cost.
Do I drop some of the papers?
You know what? Sure. We'll go with you drop some of the papers. That sounds good. Okay. So I'm going to add a thing of stress to your supplies. Let's find out how much stress that is. We're going to leave the D6 out and we'll use the D4. Fuck it. That is 3 points of stress.
Ew, so my supplies are an 8.
Yes. And now I get the great pleasure of seeing if you take fallout from tackling a man. Also, were you tackling him through the window or...
Because
I kind of assumed that, too.
Oh, okay. That hadn't quite been my intention, but I do like the visual of just, like, hucking him out the window and using him to break the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? Let's go for it.
Also, possibly using him as a surfboard.
That wasn't quite part of my intention.
No? No. Okay. Well, we'll just say that you, like, slam into him and just kind of shove him really fucking hard out the window and stop short of the window.
Yeah, I also want to go out the window, but I want a more controlled exit from the window than throwing.
Okay. Oh my fucking god, you are so goddamn lucky.
What is it, at 9?
It is. It is at a 9. So yeah, you're going to need to try and find a way to deal with your stress here pretty soon. Yeah.
Okay, I want to toss the papers into my bag and climb out the window.
Okay.
2? Yeah.
It's at a 2.
Okay.
All right, so you hear screams outside, and there is a flurried panic amongst the crowd.
Okay. Can I get to a rooftop from the window?
Let's find out. Unfortunately, no. That is not going to be an option.
Okay. Can I get to anywhere from this window? D2. I don't.
It landed on night, which I treat as bad.
Yeah, I don't like the bad.
Anyway, so what'd you ask?
Can I get to anywhere from this window?
The ground.
Well, like, I couldn't, like, shimmy my way out onto a ledge or anything like that?
No, there's not really a ledge. It's kind of this, like, bubbled glass, so it's basically, like, there is the window frame, which still has some shards of glass on it, and then a plummet downward.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna grab something. Can I grab the dropped papers? Or did they fall out with him?
I'm going to say that most of it fell out with him, but then some others of it got covered in blood.
Oh. Whose blood?
His. He's prone to nosebleeds. I don't fucking know. Stop trying to poke holes in the game.
No. Somebody has to be Nathan here.
Yes, but... shout out to one of my new favorite podcasts, Bonus Experience. At the end of the day, you shouldn't try and solve weird out-of-game problems with in-game rationale. At a certain point, I could just say,
no, fuck
you.
Yeah.
That's why I love that show. It's so smart. And teaches me to stop playing games with Nathans. Sorry, Nathan, I love you.
Okay, well, I want to try to use a chunk of Kruer to, like, somehow make myself fly to a nearby rooftop so I can get the fuck out of here.
Sure. Go ahead and give me, in this case, I'm going to say, actually, you know what? I'm going to say 3d10.
Okay, cool. Should I just use a percentile and pretend it's a regular one, or should I dig for another d10?
Dig for another d10.
Okay. You don't want to fuck around with percentiles?
No.
Racist.
Yes. But no, so would you like to know why I'm letting you roll 3d10?
Because you're a nice person once in a while?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think that could possibly be the answer.
Nope. Actually, you know what?
I dropped one.
Okay, I thought it was a spider.
It'd be funny. That would be just a fucking brown recluse crawls out of the bag.
Yeah,
Is it a d10 that's on the floor? That'd be funny. It's a d12.
No, this is not a d12.
Oh, no, you're right. I just didn't look at it close enough. Hey, stop, sir. Are you giving me 4?
Okay. And actually, yeah, I want you to roll 4 of them.
Sexy.
Yeah, I'm letting you apply the luck to this.
Hey! Because it's cool as hell?
Actually, hold up. Oh. I'll roll the 4th one.
Oh, rude.
Yes.
Okay. Ah, got a 10!
Yeah, certainly better than this one.
Was my luck like a 1?
That was a 3.
Okay.
But, yeah. Yeah, anyway.
I apologize for my weird voice that I put on when I was excited about getting a 10. Just kind of a thrilling moment.
Honestly, I would rather listen to that one than some of the other voices that you do. Because some of them are really, really hard on my ears.
I literally came here to have a good time, and I'm feeling so literally attacked right now.
You should.
First my guy with a gun, then you with your words hurting my heart. Make you spit that fucking bourbon and coke out. Mm-mm. Go right out your fucking nose.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Dildo. Anyway,
so
I fly.
You grab the crew, you give it a good squeeze. It like burns and glows this blood red, and you hear a thumping sound in your head. And then you begin to float.
Okay.
And you know what that thumping sound is.
Oh, I sure do.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, you've got a slight headache. It's like bubbles in the brain, just but. Yeah, you find yourself able to just fly out this window.
Okay, how fast am I flying?
Don't pull a Nathan on me.
I'm not asking for, like, a specific number, but, like, am I just lazily floating out, or am I going at, like, the speed of, like, a run or something?
A speed walk.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, I'm gonna fly as far as I can. And whenever, like, you know, I feel the power lessen, I want to try to land on a rooftop so I can run all the way back to, like, Calabash or something.
So the good news is, you could actually use this sort of a deferring amount. I'm not going to try and keep super tight tabs on numbers, but I'm going to put this currently at a 13.6. You could hypothetically use this crew to get all the way back to the bar.
Okay. I don't know if I want to go to the bar. I think I want to hide out in Calabash for the night, at least.
Okay. We'll put you at 13.2.
Okay.
Yep. So you make your way over into Calabash, and where do you want to touch down?
I want to touch down on whatever the tallest building in Calabash is, where I can, like, kind of keep a lookout.
The Calabash Hotel.
Okay. Does this one also have an elevator?
You're not inside.
Oh, okay. They don't have big signage outside. I feel like we already had this conversation, actually, in that episode.
Probably. I don't recall. Okay. But, yeah, you don't know if this one has an elevator.
All right. But, yeah, I'm going to touch down on the roof up there. Settle in, and keep, you know, kind of keep a low profile, literally, you know, keep down, low down on the roof, make it hard to be seen from, the ground.
Sure.
And then, I just want to, you know, keep watch, see if any of them come after me.
Are you sleeping up here?
Not at the moment.
Okay. So you hunker down and you're just sort of peeking over the edge of the roof and you're watching. And, you hear this, like, loud bell ringing, and it almost sounds like a town crier, but you haven't seen a town crier anywhere in town since you got here.
Mm-hmm.
any version of the town since you got here. And yeah, no, you're hearing this loud bell. You're not sure what it signifies, but you don't see anyone specifically here in this area looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
But bell.
Do I see any townsfolk? And if so, do I see them reacting to the bell?
Not here in Calabash.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to chill up on this rooftop, and I guess now that there isn't a dice die counting down to my demise...
Oh, thank you. I forgot about that.
Oh, it is counting down to my demise. Oh, no. Okay. Well, I guess I'll use my remaining time on this earth to read over the papers now that I won't be uninterrupted.
And so I should go ahead and mention kind of how that works a little bit. Kind of. There is a zero where I grab it and go, okay, that's done now. Yeah. But, basically, I'm sort of stealing the idea of clocks from a bunch of other... I think it's specifically Powered by the Apocalypse games.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, clocks are amazing. They are such a fucking great invention. I don't know why anyone else hadn't thought of them before.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of a clock is... You know how shit will continue to happen even though you're not looking at it because that's how time and reality work?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of simulate that idea in role-playing game form where it's like, okay, even though you're not watching the warlord make his way across the city, you know that he's making his way across the city. Same idea. In this case, you know that some bad shit's happening involving, you know, Tobin, but it's still happening even though you're not watching it.
Right.
So that was an active kind of menace threat right there for you that I just wanted to be like, hey, reminder.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so you continue to read over these papers, what you have of them.
Yeah.
And it talks about how he was actually down in the mines on the day of the schisma.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't remember much from that day, but he remembers a lot of people dying that he couldn't save. He remembers a lot of screaming. And he remembers the ground giving way under his feet, and he was lost in an ocean that he barely managed to claw his way out of. And from there, his writing style begins to change. He begins to change. He's a lot angrier.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just... It's different. It's not the same person as it was.
Hmm.
And the diary kind of cuts off very suddenly, and there's a handful of letters that they don't have replies to them. But the gist that you're kind of getting is Sangili one day just vanished.
Hmm.
Yeah, something happened. He walked away. No one knows what else happened after that. So, you have choices to make.
Such as?
The fuck you're going to do with the information you just received.
Okay. Well, yeah, so Sangili is somebody who was a great help, it sounds like.
A hero.
A hero, yeah. But then something changed, and it seems he abandoned the people here in their time of need, which is also why Oberlin was like, you know, you're just going to be like that guy, that asshole, fucking left everybody.
There's more to the story. Unfortunately, you know, there's only so much that can be physically recorded on papers.
Right. So we'll have to do some more investigating. Ideally not when potentially being hunted by Tobin folks.
Tobinites.
Tobinians.
Tobin turds.
Tobinese. Hey, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How come, you know, for like Taiwan, Japan, China, Korea... No, not Korea. But it ends with E's. How come those languages end with that?
I don't know.
You're supposed to know everything, Morgan Null. Because you don't see other languages. I mean, is it like... Cause then, and then also, it's not like it's Koreaese. It's Korean. But they also have like a kanji-based language. So it's not like it's about kanji. And then there's Cambodian, not Cambodese. Cambodese. Laotian, not Laoese.
Also, Thai, not Chinese.
Yeah. And also with Taiwan, because there's Taiwanese. Thailand could mess it up. But yeah, it's just Thai.
Yeah.
Why? Who decided this? I want to know. And I have never remembered to Google it, but I'm not going to do it right now because we're trying to play a game.
I'm trying to think of if there's one that does that in Africa, because I feel like there is.
I know in Star Wars there is. The Hutts speak Huttese.
Yeah, but Star Wars earns an honorable mention for being a little bit racist.
Oh, okay, I thought you were going to say Star Wars is Africa.
No, I'm not that racist. No.
Part of it was filmed in Africa, in Tunisia. That's where Tatooine was filmed.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Star Wars has an amusing relationship with just being slightly racist.
Yeah, yeah. There's Javanese. Java's in Indonesia.
Oh, I feel bad because I thought you said Jawa and then Jawanese.
Jawas might speak Jawanese. Let me check Wikipedia.
So what languages do Jawas speak? Because you know what genre of music plays in the...
Jawis. Jawais.
Jawis!
It's Jawais.
But you know what type of language... What genre of not language. Music plays in...
Sorry, say that again?
I wish I could have taken a picture of your face.
I clicked over into a different tab that apparently previously had a video playing and just started blasting in my ears and it startled me.
I could tell. It was great.
It's like, oh!
You know what kind of music plays in the cantina, though, yeah?
Jizz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah. It's like, George Lucas, are you really, really, bud? Really?
I wonder...
My guy, come on. You've got a penis. You should know this.
I wonder if he knew. I wonder if he knew what he did.
Oh, man.
What?
Henry Kissinger. He's still alive.
I was really hoping that you would say he died. And which time I was going to ask why you were so sad.
Yeah, the sentence wouldn't have started with, oh, man, if he was dead. Anyway, I'm going to stop looking at Reddit. Yeah. Anyway, so, we should probably play the game.
Yeah. God forbid we actually engage in the game.
Yeah.
So... yeah, what do you want to do? You now have all this information kicking around in your head. You know that there's some shit involving Sangili. So.
Yeah, so I'm going to lay low for the rest of the... what time is it, actually? I keep forgetting to ask that.
You have no idea. I mean, you can always check your
watch. Have one of those. I'll check my watch.
It is... Probably, if you had to guess, another 3 hours until the next golden barge arrives.
Hmm.
So it's probably either it's very, very early or it's still very, very late. Mm-hmm. But it's still morning-ish hours, early morning-ish hours.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I'm just going to lay low for probably a few more hours. Then I'm going to find some non-Tobinites to perhaps question about Sangili.
Okay. So you're going to hang out on the roof?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how are you getting off the roof? Or did you want to use the trap door there?
There's a trap door?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. It goes through the hotel.
So are you suggesting I leave now? Or are we getting to get to that later?
Later is now.
Okay, so nothing happened while I was chilling up on the roof.
No, okay. I wasn't going to do that to you.
No, okay. Yeah, I'm just going to leave through the trapdoor.
Okay. So as you are heading down through the hotel, there's weirdos wandering the halls. The hotel seems to be doing slightly better business here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all just weirdos wandering through.
Okay, and then now there's another one. Because I'm there.
Yeah. So you reach the ground floor, and the people at the front desk sort of give you a quizzical look, because they've never seen you before.
Mm-hmm.
And are you staying in the hotel? Are you asking people things, or are you heading out and going elsewhere?
No, I'm going to head to the bar in Pentabarn.
I'm very proud of you.
Took me a second. I was going through my mental Rolodex.
Yeah, of bullshit names that I've made up.
Yes.
So you go over to Pentabarn, where you encounter the jovial Robert Courier is behind the bar.
And yeah, so I sit at the bar. How much money do I have, by the way?
24, I thought it was. Let me double check.
Oh, here. 64.
64.
I order a drink, and I say, "Oh, I've had a long day. How you doing, Robert?"
And he kind of laughs and goes, "I'm doing okay. How are you?"
And he's like, "Well, I need a drink, and it's whatever time it is. So there's your answer."
And he chuckles and replies, "Oh, it's always time for a drink." True. And that is one silv off.
Yay, one silv. Can I ask you, Robert? I'm doing some research into the Night Sangili. Would you happen to know anything or be able to point me in the direction of somebody who would?
And he heaves a great sigh and says, "Sad story, that."
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big, wonderful, famous hero, doing so much for the hometown that he loved. And one day, he's just gone. Some say that he died.
It's my understanding from what I've read so far about him that kind of towards the end, something changed about him. Is that right?
I mean, he got mean, but it happens a lot to people. Just over time, nothing changing. Everything just seeming to get worse, especially after the schisma, after getting lost.
Do you know him?
I mean, in passing, only in passing.
Did he have friends?
The whole town was his friend. Everybody loved him.
You know, but like friends.
The friends that he had died. There was only one person that kind of survived it all.
Do you know who that was?
Guy by the name of Eric Rott. Lives over in Tobin now.
Yeah, I don't, not a big fan of Tobin.
Who is?
Yeah, I don't think they're a fan of me either. They act all nice to your face, and then they invite you up to the fourth floor of your house and try to kill you.
And he sort of gives a quizzical look at that, and laughs and shakes his head.
And I say, over my cup, I will demonstrate for Nala. Or so I've heard.
And he doesn't even react. He's just got this little grin on his face, and he's cleaning a mug.
And I say, so what's the deal with the Tobin people? Why do they want to kill folks?
I have no idea. I didn't honestly know what was actually happening out there. All that I knew is that you go into Tobin, people don't see you again. Presumably dead. No idea.
You know anything about Rixer Holt?
Collector, I've heard.
Yeah, well, he was the one who invited me up to the top floor of his house.
I'm not surprised. You have to wonder how someone like that gets all the paperwork that he does.
You know what? What about, what was her name? Fresca? Fresco?
Oh, she's nuts. Be careful of her.
Yeah, well, yeah, trust me, I'm not going back anytime soon.
They call her Fresco the Delightful.
Hmm.
Yeah, delightful as a fucking hemorrhoid.
Those aren't traditionally delightful, so...
Neither is Fresco.
No, okay. Yeah. Food was good, though.
Oh, I'm sure. That amount of money going through that little community, I'm not sure. I'm not surprised at all that it was absolutely fucking magnificent.
So where do they make their money? How do they make their money?
How does anything happen here in Troika? I have no idea. Money comes, money goes, it just kind of happens.
Yeah.
I say that as a business owner, as a tavern owner. I open the drawer every day, it starts at an amount. The amount is a little bit up, the amount is a little bit down. I sell beer, I put the money into the drawer, it's gone by morning.
Do you own this building? Do you pay rent for the building?
I don't know.
What a strange city.
I've been thinking that for a very long time.
I tried to go to the town hall, you know, again, doing my research, and they don't let you in. Nobody comes out either, I guess.
Yeah. I know that there's someone there, because every time that I'm locking up for the night, I see the silhouette in the window. of someone up in the top tower. But I've never seen anyone come. I've never seen anyone go.
What about the church? What's going on with the church?
Oh, the Church of Rondur. They're characters. They are characters.
Good kind, or are they villains?
A little bit of both. Everyone's kind of like that in this town. Everyone's got their good, everyone's got their bad. You can't just chalk it up to one or the other. The Church of Rondur has a bishop that's a little bit overzealous, but he's not a bad guy. He just has opinions, has feelings.
Gotcha.
Not to be done for it.
All right, well, I finish off my drink and I say, so if I want to learn more about St. Geely, where would you point me?
The church.
Yeah?
They've got the second largest library in town after the town hall.
Okay, and are they going to invite me up to the top floor of the church and attempt to kill me?
I wouldn't imagine.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time and the drink.
Absolutely. Sorry, I had to double check a couple of things because there is a pair of characters that are not on your contacts list that I had to double check their current roles in the city.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. So, is the bell still ringing?
No, thankfully it's finally stopped. It stopped about, you're not sure, but several hours after you flew off to the rooftop. So.
Fun.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go to Tobin by way of rooftop.
Okay. So would you like the bad news?
Nope.
Okay, then we'll just not tell you what's happening, and I guess you can just... Here, take off the headphones, cover your ears, and I'll just tell the listeners. How about that?
No, I guess I'll listen too.
Okay, that works. you hear someone shouting at you to stop.
Who is it?
It is Maxley. You don't remember Maxley,
do
you?
No, I remember Maxley.
Oh, okay.
He's
one of the town guards.
Yeah, he is one of the other identities of Baxley, who has DID.
Yeah. Wait, did I say Maxley? I thought it was Baxley.
There are two different people.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's Maxley and Baxley. Yeah. I got both of them listed, but I can't remember if I said Maxley or Baxley. I thought I said Baxley. And right. Then you said it's the other identity of Baxley. I'm like, I thought I said Baxley.
All right, yeah. Okay.
Either way, it's a Maxley or a Baxley.
Anyway, so I'm up on the roof, and he shouts at me to stop?
Before you even manage to get up onto the roof, he's shouting at you to stop.
And I say, okay, I'm stopped.
He's like, okay, now come back down. Because you're, like, shambling up onto the roof.
Oh. And I say, why?
It's only common decency when you're wanted for a crime, don't you understand that?
Crime? What did I do?
You were seen throwing a man out of a window.
Well, if I were to do something like that, don't you think I'd probably have a pretty good reason?
I mean, everyone thinks they have a pretty good reason to commit a crime. That's why it's a crime, normally.
Oh, if he was trying to kill me, is that a crime?
I mean, yes, but you'd need witnesses or proof.
Okay.
And it can't be you.
Oh, okay. Good try. Good talk. I start climbing.
And he chucks the billy club at you. And go ahead and give me an endure roll, please.
Is that just one die?
In this case, it's going to be two of them.
Two of them. Okay.
Unless you want to do some magic-y shit.
No. I got a 9.
Okay, so that's succeed and no stress. So, good job. The billy club hits you and you just kind of shrug it off. You've got your... I was going to say coat, but you don't. You've got a vest. Yeah. Your vest is nice.
Not super protective, yeah.
No.
Okay, so I...
You just kind of shrug it off and say, like, yeah, fuck you.
Okay, so I get up to the top of the building and I sit down on the ledge and... I turn back to him and I say, hey now, that's rude.
Well, so is running away from a crime.
I thought I was being chased by a bunch of those Tobin lunatics.
Well, then you can tell the captain of the guard that. Come back down.
I think maybe he should come to me.
I think you should come to him.
I think I have the higher ground.
Okay, no need to be literal here. And you hear this old woman cackling behind you.
Behind me on the rooftop?
Yes.
Okay, and I look.
And there is Madame Arkin, hunched over, in a black dress with a little hood on it. But the hood, you can see, is, like, stitched together and, like, stitched on. It didn't come with the dress.
Ah. Like her modding her clothes. How fancy.
Yeah. Oh, she is the best. And she's just kind of laughing as you and Axley are arguing.
Oh, there's a third one now.
No, there's just the two.
Oh, no, it's Maxley.
Or was it Maxley?
No, you said Maxley.
Did I?
Probably. I'll find out. Maybe I'll deceptively edit it. I'll just remove the first letter, so it's always Axley.
Rude.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, she's laughing at you. And shuffling the little stack of cards that she has.
And I say, hi, Madam Arkin. How nice to see you.
And good to see you.
And I turn back to Maxley and I say, go and get the guard. Captain Guard guy. I'll stay here.
No, you won't. Don't
worry. I will. Madam Arkin is keeping an eye on me.
And he narrows his eyes at you.
And I like kind of throw up my hands and I say, I'd like to clear my name. I just want to do it while sitting on the roof.
And incidentally, at that moment, John Risk is walking back down out of an alleyway. He's like, Baxley, what are you doing here? I told you to go patrol Calabash. And Baxley's like, the murderer is right there. And Captain Risk is like, can you come down? Let's talk about this. Come down.
I'm quite comfortable where I am, sir.
And Arkin's just laughing her ass off. And Riss just looks very, very exhausted.
I say, so you found that guy. What was his name? Rixer Holt?
That'd be the one.
Yeah, so he attacked me up in his study upstairs. So I fled out the window.
Okay, well, I need to put you into a cell temporarily until we can get this worked out. Okay. I will go and investigate, but I need you in a cell.
I'm fine where I am, thanks.
I'm not fine where you are.
Why not?
Don't make me come and get you.
And I point at Madam Arkin again. It's like, I'm in her custody currently.
And Arkin, for her part, shouts, yeah, Captain, she's with me. And Risk is like, that's not good enough. She's a fortune teller. She is not guard.
She's not a member of law enforcement.
But yeah, no, he just looks very, very frustrated. And Arkin comes and like pops a squat next to you and is still rifling through cards. And
I say, you really want me to draw one, huh?
She shrugs.
Okay, well, I'm a
draw. I mean, I want you to draw.
Okay, yeah, I know, but you are Madam Arkin in this situation. I draw a card. Infinite Cosmic Mess. Oh, I didn't know I was a card. And to the dear listener, it's a cosmic mess, all right? There's an eyeball. There's a heart, like a not like a anatomical one, but like, you know, Valentine's heart. That appears to be a mouth. There's another mouth. A sperm, perhaps?
A sperm?
Yeah, it could be a sperm. Yeah, with an eye.
I guess it could be. I would have guessed tadpole.
You know, that is a less sexual option. But what is tadpoles other than just frog sperm?
Tadpoles are...
They're not. I know. They're baby frogs.
Yeah, that is a thing that tadpoles are not.
What are human children other than overgrown sperm? Honestly, you could say that about adults too. At the end of the day, you're all just your dad's jizz.
I was gonna say, I remember very clearly there was this post that I read that it was so hostile, but I loved it so much, which is, why are you so happy to talk about your kids? I'm not interested in listening to you talk about your overgrown sperm you chose to keep as pets.
Or have you heard of them called crotch fruit or fuck trophies?
Yeah. There's one language, I don't remember off the top of my head which one just now, but one of them refers to them as shitlings. And that just, that lives rent-free in my head.
That's good. Anyway.
Yep.
So I draw that, and I say, so what does this one mean, Madam Markin?
And she nods and says, well, it means that you are in a lot of shit across a lot of universes.
I'm in a lot of shit in this one right now.
Oh, but this is only one of many, and you are in a lot of shit in a lot of them. I don't imagine that it's all legal, though.
Hmm. Well,
you've been traveling through Heart, haven't you?
A couple times. Huh. Meanwhile, down on the ground, Captain Risk is like, hello, we're still here.
Oh, yeah, he's... He's actually just being quiet and tapping his foot, just impatiently waiting. But yeah, she remarks to be careful, especially with that sword.
Okay, I usually try to be careful with swords.
Yep. And then she stands up and just hops off the roof, two-story building, just lands casually and just starts walking off.
All right, and I dig through my bag. I pull out the shitty badge that other Captain Risk had given me, and I climb down the side, back down the side of the building, and I hand it to Captain Risk, and I say, "You gave me this, not you, but you know you."
And he narrows his eyes and says, "He's." I should be more specific. I really want to get across or what's happening here. He narrows his eyes at it as if he's staring a million miles away. Okay? He's not really staring at it. He's, mm-hmm. like, staring through it.
Uh-huh.
And then he remarks, oh, got it. So you were sent here to help us out. Okay, gotcha. And he hands it back. It's like he didn't even hear you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So I put it back in my bag and I say, do I still have to go to the cell?
No, clearly you were here on a case and the case led to Rixer Holt. I just wish that you would fill me in on what that case was.
Yeah, sorry, it all kind of happened, so fast.
Doesn't it always?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm investigating, whatever happened to the Night Sangili.
Tragic story.
So I've heard.
I never had the pleasure of meeting that man, but God, I looked up to him.
Yeah. Anyway, so my next destination is the church.
Here, I'll go ahead and walk you there just to make sure that nothing happens.
I was going to ask, yeah, if there would be issues, and I kind of expected that there might be.
Yeah, especially considering how close that is to Tobin proper. Always got to be careful. And he walks you over there, and it's, like, right as the sun is coming up. And the two of you reach the door, and he knocks on it on your behalf, and a couple of monks open it. And he says, our young friend here needs to speak with the bishop. And the monks nod, and they're escorting you inside, and the church is absolutely magnificent, marble and gold, and you know how churches usually will have a giant cross in the middle?
Uh-huh.
This one has a giant three-dimensional golden orb.
Hmm.
Is there anything you want to try and say or ask or do, or just want to go straight over to the bishop?
Does Captain Risk follow me in?
No.
Okay. I was gonna, like, follow his lead, like, oh, am I supposed to, like, kneel before the orb or anything like that? No. Okay, yeah, I'm just gonna head for the bishop.
Okay. Well, the monks are leading you to the bishop. Oh,
okay, I'll just follow them then.
Okay. And you are led into this very elegant office, and, this man with very, very short graying hair, but very piercing eyes, right, greets you. And I'm not going to try and do the voice right now because I can't remember exactly how it's sounded previously. But you recognize the voice.
He confronted me when I left Heart the first time?
No, this is not, in fact, the same man. Same outfit, but completely different man.
Okay.
You actually recognize this as the voice that greeted you when previously it was in the form of a giant smoke flame monster in Calabash. Oh, it's
the Duke of Lanterns. Or...
was the Duke of Lanterns. Currently the Bishop.
Yeah.
Yes. But he greets you and does a little nod and says, "It's very nice to meet you. I am Sharon O'Connor."
Pleased to meet you, Bishop O'Connor. I'm Bronwyn.
But we're going to cut it there.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, shit. We need papers.
Well, the sound effects are clearly necessary.
Oh, no, no. It's not sound effects. It's a soundtrack.
Ah.
Ta-da. All right, so we love you guys. Fuck off. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah. No, if you want to chit-chat about the show, questions, comments, concerns, if you want to ask about Null's ear that apparently is bothering him all of a sudden.
Just started ringing. Just out of nowhere. It sounds like... I don't even know how to say it. It sounds like a fucking TV going...
That's me. Sorry.
Gotcha. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, you can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at BrannaganStar with two R's. Null's at MXMNull with two L's.
Yep. If you want to go and harass Bran on the show Twitter, on the other hand, it's at Midtown Mythos.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's the Facebook that I never look at, but I'm on there, and that's at Midtown Mythos.
Well, it's at Midtown Mythos because it's Facebook.
I mean, alternately, though, you can type in at Midtown Mythos in the little search bar, and it does work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Or there is the Patreon, which is not at Midtown Mythos, and also currently it's kind of deactivated a little bit, just because I've been taking a mental health day, and I'm not making Bran edit a bunch of shit when I'm not editing a bunch of shit.
Yeah, we're not releasing any extra content on there right now, so we decided just to, close it for the time being.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've really got, like, a boner to go and take a look at what's there right now, which isn't much, it is, Stars and Void, so go take a look. There's also the show email. That is Midtown Mailbag, and you can shout at me directly there and tell me to start making shit again, and I will ignore you.
Yeah, an exciting thing happened on Discord recently, because there's also a Discord for the show. You can find a link to it either on the Twitter or on the Facebook. Or if that fails, you can just hit me up on Twitter, and I will just give you a link. If you want to check it out, mostly what it's used for is I run my own game of Mythos.
It's a fucking disaster, but they have fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of disaster. It's for my friends Tom and Nathan. And so Nathan recently started a new character. He wasn't expecting it to happen so soon, but he had told me that he had a new character he wanted to try, but he wanted to finish things out with his old character. And I secretly...
said, fuck you.
Yes, yeah, I secretly went, fuck you, I'm the GM. I decided when this new character starts. And so I pulled his other character out from under him. He's not dead. He's just incapacitated for the time being. Meanwhile, basically because another thing that happened is that the two campaign... well, the campaign diverged into two campaigns. So Tom's character had been on an alien planet and was working on trying to build a spaceship. And he was trading a bunch of minerals that he'd mined on Mercury for the local currency on this planet. And he was trying to show off his space magic that he has. And he did a bad roll and accidentally yeeted whatever the business guy was from this other planet. He yeeted him into space. Fortunately, he was able to rescue him. But he was like, hey, I think I committed a crime. I should probably get off that planet. So he went back to Mercury, and he's going to be... No, actually, he's back on Earth now. He's in Antarctica right now.
I'm just trying to figure out why you took my cute little, fun, weird, fucking urban fantasy game and made it a science fiction game.
Tom wanted to go to space.
That's when you say no as the GM.
Next time I will. That's the goal for next time. Is saying no. You're going to be like, I want to do this. And I say no. Why? Because I fucking said so.
Yeah. full professional, like, disclosure, I don't fucking believe you. I think you're going to like lose what spine you've got and just be like, oh yeah, no, you can definitely eat diamonds. That's
I disagree. I've gotten better. You know, they'll try to pin me down and I'll say, no, get your science out of my science fiction.
Or fantasy.
Yeah. But see, he's an inventor, so he's always about this sci-fi. But anyway, yeah, so that's what's been going on there.
Why do I consider his opinion on anything? He was like, oh yeah, your game's okay, I guess. And I was like, well, I need to make it better now, don't I? Why the fuck do I care what his opinion is?
Are you talking about Tom or Nathan?
Tom.
Oh, okay.
No, Nathan just is fucking giddy about the world. He doesn't care about the game. He just wants to know more about the world. He's literally told me that I'm not allowed to die because no one else is going to take creative responsibility for the world after I'm gone.
That's funny. Anyway, on to the finishing the credits. But yeah, for music, we've got some song by Nine Inch Nails.
14 Ghost 2. Something.
Yeah.
Ghost. 14 Ghosts 2.
Yeah, those ones.
That one.
Okay. Anyway, tell your friends about us.
Yeah, we survive pretty much exclusively on word of mouth, and the less that you talk about us to people and make them want to shove pencils in their ears, the less that we have a reason to actually continue making this for you. So if you want us to continue doing this, make your friends hate you and then eventually listen to the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway, enjoy some bloopers, maybe. Yeah, it was just like, I was about to start, I was like, wait, I have like a bunch of spit and like in my mouth and then some like phlegm in my throat. I'm just gonna clip that out and add it at the end. It's time to figure out what kind of balls. I'm on to your tricks.